So while you were sleeping last night, an AI didn't just, answer a trivia question or write a polite email for someone.
Right.
A swarm of, I think it was 93 autonomous bots collaborated for 12 straight hours. They spent less than $1,000 in cloud computing costs, and they literally built a fully functioning computer operating system from scratch.
It's wild. Today is really the exact moment AI stopped being just a tool you talk to and became this autonomous workforce that acts completely on its own.
Exactly. And that is our mission for you on this deep dive. We're unpacking this massive stack of developments from June 1st, 2026, to really make sense of this shift.
Because we are officially crossing the threshold
Right.
from individual AI models into this era of agentic swarms.
Right. We're going to look at how these massive swarms are basically redesigning the hidden infrastructure of the internet. And, we'll break down the near trillion-dollar business moves, making it all happen behind the scenes.
The entire architecture of the web, the hardware on our desks, even the financial markets, they're all aggressively shifting to support this new reality.
It's insane. So let's start with the sheer scale of how these things are building software now, because that demonstration of Google's Anti-Gravity 2.0 was just staggering.
Oh, absolutely. Google's showcase fundamentally changes how we understand execution. I mean, they didn't just ask a model to write a simple Python script.
Right, like we used to do.
Exactly. They unleashed 93 parallel sub-agents and gave them a completely open-ended goal, which was just, build a custom operating system.
And they process something like 2.6 billion tokens over half a day, right?
Yeah, 2.6 billion. They were writing code, compiling it, hitting kernel panics, and then actually reading the stack traces to debug the memory managers and iterating, all without any human intervention.
And then the ultimate developer flex, they booted the video game Doom on it live on stage.
They did. You have to admit, it's a classic move.
It really is. But doing it for under $1,000 in compute costs is, I mean, that's the real headline here.
Oh, for sure. Think about assembling a team of human engineers to build an OS from scratch.
You'd be looking at millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars in months, if not years, of coordination. And Anthropic is doing something very similar with their new Claude Opus 4.8 release.
Yeah, specifically with that feature they call dynamic workflows.
Right. So Opus 4.8 basically takes the swarm concept and packages it for everyday enterprise use.
How does it actually work in practice?
Well, typing the word workflow into Claude now prompts it to write its own orchestration script. So it builds a management plan and spawns dozens or even hundreds of parallel sub-agents to tackle a massive problem simultaneously.
Like that Anthropic engineer who demonstrated it, right?
Yeah, they audited hundreds of A/B test flags across this gigantic legacy code base in under 10 minutes.
It is. It's like going from having one incredibly smart intern that you have to constantly micromanage to suddenly being handed the keys to a synchronized 100-person tech company that just executes at light speed.
It really is.
But okay, I need to pause you here. Because if you have 100 bots fanning out across a code base, doing trial and error, compiling, failing, searching logs all at once, isn't that just a recipe for generating massive amounts of garbage code?
That's a very fair point.
Like, I would imagine a tsunami of log noise and error messages just flooding the terminal faster than any human could ever review.
And that would absolutely happen with older architectures, which is why Anthropic implemented something called context isolation.
Context isolation. Okay, what is that?
It's the underlying mechanism that makes these agentic swarms viable. When Claude spawns those 100 sub-agents, it doesn't just, open 100 chat windows in the same space.
Oh, I see.
It spins up a fresh, isolated virtual environment for each child agent.
So they aren't like tripping over each other's work.
Far from it. Each child agent gets its own blank slate context window and its own isolated set of tools.
Okay, so all the messy trial and error stuff stays put.
Exactly. The failed compiles, the grep searches, the thousands of lines of log noise, it all stays completely trapped inside that specific child agent's environment.
Right.
The parent thread, which is the orchestrator you actually interact with, only receives the final validated function once the child agent proves it works.
Wow. So you aren't managing the mess at all. You're just receiving the clean outcome.
Right.
The orchestrator is essentially acting as this ruthless middle manager, filtering out all the noise before it ever reaches your desk.
That architectural shift is huge. It changes coding from a sequential, tedious slog into this massive, parallel explosion of productivity.
Okay, so we have these swarms that are incredibly methodical at building things step by step, right? And they verify their own work as they go.
Right.
But what happens if you take that exact same methodical, relentless reasoning loop and point it at finding flaws instead?
Well, then you get the breakthroughs we just saw in mathematics and cybersecurity. And frankly, the implications here are pretty severe.
Yeah, the math developments are a perfect illustration of this loop in action. I mean, the Erdős Combinatorics problems, they've been these famous, incredibly difficult, unsolved math problems for decades.
Decades, yeah.
And in a single week, three different AI labs cracked them open. Google DeepMind actually managed to solve nine of them by pairing a large language model with a formal verification tool called Lean.
Right, and to understand why this is a breakthrough, we kind of have to look at how math is normally checked.
Okay.
Traditionally, complex mathematics relies on human peer review. One mathematician writes a proof, and others spend months just manually checking the logic for flaws.
Which is incredibly slow.
Very slow. But Lean changes that. It's a functional programming language, but also a theorem prover. It essentially turns abstract mathematical logic into compiled code.
So the LLM generates the hypothesis, and then Lean acts as this unforgiving compiler that mathematically proves whether the logic holds up.
Exactly.
And it does this long before a human ever even looks at it.
Yeah, it creates a closed, automated verification loop.
Hmm.
And Anthropic applied a very similar approach with their new reasoning model, Mythos.
Right, they found that proof, didn't they?
They did. They actually found a highly elegant, cute, simple proof for a result that OpenAI had previously needed 125 pages to explain.
That's incredible. But, you know, solving abstract math problems is just the proving ground. The real-world application of this verification loop is what Anthropic is doing with Project Glasswing.
Oh, Project Glasswing, yeah.
They pointed the Mythos model at software security, and it found over 10,000 high or critical severity vulnerabilities in widely used essential software.
That,
10,000.
I mean, the sheer volume is alarming.
Hey.
But the breakthrough capability here is a technique called chaining.
Chaining.
Right. Standard security scanners operate on signatures. They scan a system, look for an outdated library or an open port, flag it, and move on.
Right, just a basic checklist.
But Mythos doesn't just flag issues. It thinks like an adversary. It identifies several low-severity vulnerabilities, things a human security team might deprioritize because they seem harmless in isolation.
It's the whole Danny Ocean heist crew analogies.
Yeah.
Like, a standard scanner is just a mall cop walking the perimeter, checking if the front doors are locked. But Mythos is actually assembling a crew.
Right, it notices a slightly loose ventilation shaft.
Yeah. And then it notices a camera feed with a 10-second delay. Then it finds a server that trusts local traffic.
And none of those get you into the vault on their own. But Mythos systematically chains them together.
It writes a custom exploit, combining all three flaws, compiles it, runs it against the system, and if it fails, it just reads the error log, adjusts the code, and tries again at machine speed.
And because it operates 24/7 as an automated swarm, it's tearing through infrastructure at a pace we just haven't seen before.
Which led Anthropic to release that very uncomfortable warning to the software industry.
Yeah, they explicitly stated that the traditional response to vulnerabilities, which is just patching faster, is now a fundamentally broken strategy.
That sounds kind of counterintuitive, though. If AI is finding bugs faster, shouldn't the human response be to just deploy fixes faster?
You would think so, but it comes down to the physical limits of regression testing.
Okay, walk me through that.
Well, if a swarm can find and exploit a chained vulnerability in 20 minutes, a company might panic and implement a two-hour service-level agreement, an SLA, to deploy a patch.
Right.
But consider the reality of an enterprise software. Running a full suite of regression tests, the tests required to ensure your new patch doesn't accidentally break the billing system or the user database, it often takes an entire day.
So you simply cannot compress a 24-hour testing pipeline into a two-hour window.
Exactly. So if you mandate a two-hour SLA, your engineering team is basically forced to push broken, untested fixes into production.
Oh, man. So in a panic to close one door, they might inadvertently open three more.
Precisely. The entire infrastructure of how we test and deploy code has to change. The depth of your regression coverage now matters far more than the raw speed of your patching.
Okay, so the swarms are bypassing security on the back end with this incredible sophistication. But how are they actually navigating the front end of the internet?
That's a great question.
Because the web we use today is built on CAPI-TCHAs, two-factor authentication, and these complex login flows. If a swarm gets stuck on a basic click all the squares with the bicycle's checkbox, this whole revolution just sort of stops in its tracks, right?
It would, yeah. Which is why the internet is actively being terraformed right now to solve that exact bottleneck.
Terraformed. I like that.
Well, for the last 20 years, we've designed the web specifically for human eyeballs and human fingers while actively building friction to keep bots out.
And now we are essentially building special VIP doors at the back of the club just to usher the bots in.
We have to. I mean, human user interfaces are incredibly brittle for AI. If a web developer changes the color of a checkout button or, you know, moves a login field 3 pixels to the left, a human user barely notices.
Right.
But an AI agent relying on browser automation will completely break. So to fix this, the industry is rapidly deploying new machine-to-machine standards.
And the most prominent one this week is Auth.md from WorkOS.
Yes.
Which is just a brilliant piece of digital plumbing. It's an open standard where a website simply publishes a basic text file, just a markdown file, at a known public URL.
Right. And this file bypasses the visual website entirely.
It acts like a digital employee badge reader placed at the back door of a building. It explicitly tells AI agents exactly how to register, how to authenticate, and how to programmatically prove that the human user actually gave them permission to act on their behalf.
It completely removes the need for bots to fake mouse clicks or read visual screens.
Which is huge.
It is. And we're seeing an even more significant shift on the back end with MCP, the Model Context Protocol. The new release candidate just transitioned to a stateless architecture.
Wait, let's break that down for a second. If an architecture is stateless, there are no session IDs, right?
Right.
There's no open connection between the client and the server. So if an AI agent is hitting a server without an ongoing session, how does the server know who it's talking to? Doesn't the bot just sort of get amnesia on every single request?
That is exactly the challenge of stateless design, but it's also its greatest strength.
Okay.
Instead of holding a phone line open with a server, which is what a stateful session does, the AI agent operates like it's sending a highly detailed self-contained letter.
Oh, I see.
With every single request, the agent passes its entire context payload, its history, and its authorization token.
Ah, so it brings its own memory with it every time it knocks on the door.
Precisely. And because the server doesn't have to dedicate memory to remembering who the agent is between requests, any incoming request can be routed to any available server instance anywhere in the world.
That's incredibly efficient.
It allows companies to place their AI infrastructure behind massive load balancers, achieving true horizontal scaling. They can handle millions of simultaneous agent requests without the system crashing.
And the enterprise integration is already happening. Like Slackbot just became an MCP client.
Yes, that's a perfect example.
You can be inside a normal Slack conversation and casually type, you know, update Jira ticket 4821 to in progress and notify the QA team.
And the agent just executes the API calls statelessly right in the background.
It's wild. But it's not just cloud infrastructure being terraformed. The physical hardware sitting on our desk is actually catching up to the swarms too.
Yeah, NVIDIA's announcement of the RTX Spark laptop superchip is really the catalyst here. It ships in fall 2026 and features 128 gigabytes of unified memory.
To put that in perspective, a year ago, having 128 gigs of memory on a consumer laptop was practically science fiction.
It really was.
Because the bottleneck for running AI locally has always been VRAM, video RAM. You need massive amounts of memory just to hold the weights of these massive models so they can think.
Right. And with 128 gigabytes of unified memory, you can run a 120 billion parameter AI model entirely locally on your machine.
Completely disconnected from the internet.
Completely disconnected with a 1 million token context window. We're also seeing models like Minimax M3 launching as natively multimodal, open weights models optimized specifically for this kind of hardware.
So you put this new stateless plumbing together with an RTX Spark in a laptop, and suddenly this technology is no longer an abstract concept sitting in some massive data center.
No, it's not.
It's not just a tool for enterprise developers anymore. It is being quietly slipped into the pockets of a billion normal consumers.
Which brings us to a massive shift in consumer tech. And honestly, a moment where a lot of people might feel a distinct red line is being crossed.
Yeah. The leaked details regarding Apple's iOS 27 perfectly illustrate this shift.
They do.
According to Bloomberg, Apple is completely rebuilding Siri from the ground up. But they aren't relying on an internal foundation model. They are making Google Gemini the default engine for Siri.
Right. And they're building a drop-down menu directly into the operating system that allows users to swap out Gemini and select ChatGPT, Claude, or Grok, as the brain of their phone.
I mean, Apple spent years and billions of dollars trying to win the AI race internally, and they ultimately just concluded that the infrastructure demands were too high.
Yeah, they're just going to rent the best models available.
The scale of that deal cannot be overstated. Default placement on over a billion iPhones is arguably the single most valuable piece of real estate in the history of consumer technology.
Absolutely. Whichever AI provider wins the loyalty of that Siri drop-down menu will dominate mainstream public adoption.
But Google isn't relying solely on Apple, though. They just announced Gemini Spark.
Right, Gemini Spark.
This is a 247 personal agent running on Google Cloud virtual machines. It works proactively in the background, researching topics, organizing your files, managing your calendar, even when your phone and laptop are powered down in your bag.
It's always on.
Always on. And they're combining this with Google Universal Cart, which is an agent that monitors products you want to buy across the entire web, automatically applies the best deals, and verifies product compatibility before making the purchase.
It is an incredible leap in convenience, but, you know, observe the behavioral shift happening here.
What do you mean?
We're transitioning the public from viewing AI as a subservient assistant that answers questions to AI as an autonomous agent that takes independent action.
Right.
And no company is pushing the boundaries of that autonomous action harder right now than Robinhood.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Robinhood just launched Agentic Accounts. This feature allows you to connect an AI agent directly to your brokerage account.
Yeah.
The AI can explore trade ideas, actively balance your portfolio, and actually execute stock trades on your behalf using your real money.
It's a huge step.
And I have to throw a flag on the play here.
Yeah.
It is one thing to have a background bot buy me a pair of sneakers on sale.
Sure.
It is entirely different to let an AI dump $10,000 into a volatile stock based on a sudden market shift while I am asleep.
I hear you.
I mean, we saw high-frequency trading algorithms cause massive flash crashes back in 2010. Introducing millions of retail agent bots to fight each other in the live market feels insanely risky for the financial system.
Well, the systemic risk of algorithmic herding, where millions of consumer agents all react to the exact same news catalyst simultaneously, is a very real threat. Regulators are currently scrambling to understand it.
Because a retail-driven flash crash is entirely possible.
It is. But look closely at Robinhood's legal positioning here. They are relying heavily on your strategy, your agent framing.
Ah, so they're arguing that they aren't providing fiduciary financial advice. They're just giving you a very fast, very smart, programmable macro to execute your own ideas.
Exactly. It's a meticulously crafted liability shield. If your agent makes a bad trade and zeros out your account, Robinhood will argue that the agent was merely executing the parameters you authorized.
Wow. But regardless of the regulatory fallout, it fundamentally changes the nature of retail investing. When you zoom out and look at all of this AI operating autonomously on a billion iPhones, managing real-time personal finance, redesigning web infrastructure, and rewriting enterprise code bases, the companies building these foundation models, they stop looking like fast-growing startups.
Yeah, they really do.
They start looking like nation-states.
The financial valuations are certainly approaching that scale. I mean, Anthropic just confidentially filed an S-1, which is the formal precursor to an initial public offering.
Right.
And alongside that, they raised a $65 billion Series H round.
$65 billion.
Yeah, bringing their total valuation to $965 billion. They are knocking on the door of $1 trillion.
And the metric driving that astronomical number is their run rate revenue, which sits at roughly $37 billion annually.
It's staggering.
Let's put that in perspective for a second. A $47 billion run rate means Anthropic is generating more revenue than massive legacy corporations like Delta Airlines or Pfizer.
Right.
They aren't selling the abstract potential of AI anymore. Wall Street is pricing this valuation off a money printing business that is deeply entrenched in the enterprise right now.
But we must acknowledge the profound irony of this moment.
Oh, definitely.
Anthropic was originally founded as a cautious, safety-first research lab. They explicitly splintered off from OpenAI because they believed the industry was commercializing too quickly and ignoring existential risks.
Now, as a near trillion-dollar public company, they're going to be forced to answer to Wall Street on quarterly earnings calls.
Exactly. That inevitably changes the DNA of the organization.
It's incredibly difficult to maintain a purely safety-first, move-slowly ethos when your institutional shareholders are demanding aggressive quarterly revenue growth and wider profit margins.
The pressure for predictable pricing and rapid deployment of new enterprise features will fundamentally change the cadence of their development.
Right.
They are now the very engine forcing the rest of the corporate world to adopt AI at light speed.
Huh.
But internally, they clearly have the momentum. Andrej Karpathy, the co-founder of OpenAI and former director of AI at Tesla, just announced he's joining Anthropic's R&D division.
Karpathy is the ultimate talent signal in this space. He is arguably the best technical educator in the industry. He understands the underlying architecture of these models as well as anyone on Earth, and he has the freedom to work literally anywhere.
Anywhere he wants.
Choosing Anthropic is a massive vote of confidence that their lab is the absolute frontier of current research.
He actually stated that the next few years will be especially formative, which is an understated way of saying the foundational rules for the next era of computing are being written right now.
So let's recap the journey we've just taken through this stack of updates. We started with agentic swarms utilizing context isolation to autonomously build entire operating systems.
Right.
We saw how they're using formal verification loops to crack unsolved math problems and systematically chain together vulnerabilities to break enterprise security.
Yep.
We explored how the internet's literal plumbing is being terraformed with stateless protocols and auth.md to welcome these bots, all powered by massive local hardware upgrades.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. And finally, we saw these autonomous agents moving into our iPhones, managing our investments, and driving near trillion-dollar valuations that are completely reshaping the corporate landscape.
We are witnessing a total transformation of the digital ecosystem. But, you know, this raises an incredibly important question, so something for you to consider as we step away from the technical details.
Okay, what is it?
If the web is being fundamentally redesigned for agents, and these agents are running 24/7 in the background, doing our shopping, executing our trades, and writing our code, what happens to human agency?
In an agent-first internet, where machines are primarily talking to other machines at light speed using protocols we can't even visually see, do we eventually stop being the users of the internet?
It's a distinct possibility. We may just become the slow biological supervisors of a digital world that essentially runs itself.
We started out talking about the old paradigm of the computer as an instrument that you play, but it really does feel like the instrument has woken up, learned the music, and is just playing itself now.
While we sit in the audience.
Exactly. We are just sitting in the audience watching the performance. It is a fascinating, heavy thought to leave you with. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, keep questioning the world around you, and we highly encourage you to keep exploring these sources on your own. See you next time.